Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today we're exploring the world of international wire transfers and how they facilitate seamless cross-border transactions for businesses. While the process may seem straightforward, delving deeper reveals the need for specialized expertise to navigate its complexities effectively. To help break this down, I'm joined by Justin Jackson, SVP and Head of Enterprise Payments at Fiserv, and John Min, Chief Economist at Monex USA. With the emergence of new technologies, they're going to go into the potential for wire transfer systems to adapt and compete more effectively in the modern financial landscape. I know we have a lot to unpack. Justin, to start things off, with digital payments seemingly taking over how people pay businesses and others, are wires still a factor? You know, said another way, do you think that wires will always have a place in the money transfer ecosystem?
Yeah, Rima, great question. I think that wires will always have a place in the money transfer ecosystem. There's things that they do better than alternatives. They're more secure. Right? Banks are watching wires, every transaction that's sent. The receiving bank is watching everything that comes in. It carries information about the beneficiary to make sure we're hitting the right account. They support large dollar amounts. Many of the alternatives are limited in the amount that you can send for a P2P payment or an account-to-account transfer. Wires can go greatly above those dollar figures, moving tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars. And they've got global reach. Right? You can deliver international payments using these wire systems, which is tremendously important in a number of different use cases. I don't think wires are going anywhere anytime soon.
And in fact, if that happens, I think our client's going to get very upset because they want to make sure the money shows up where it's supposed to be. And one of the benefits of wire is that we can trace it on our end. We know exactly where the payment is along the way. So it gives a sense of security, as Justin was saying, to our clients.
You know, you spoke about the benefits. What's the downside of sending funds internationally in USD?
Yeah, another great question. When I think about sending funds internationally, and I can send in US dollars or I can send in the target currency, there's one theme that comes up each time I talk with users, with businesses, with financial institutions. And that theme is transparency. You don't know how many intermediaries are going to be handling this transaction. You don't know what their timelines look like. How long is it going to take them to decide they're ready to take those funds and hand them off to the next link in the chain of getting your payment delivered? And probably most importantly, you don't know the fees that they're going to charge. You don't know how much it's going to cost.
And in fact, in addition to those hidden fees that Justin was talking about, I know it's convenient to send US dollars and you don't have to worry about that foreign exchange, the mysterious numbers and all that stuff. But there's a cost of convenience, which is that if you send dollars and once the dollar hits the foreign account, it has to be converted. Now, at this point, you had no control, as Justin says, what kind of exchange rate or the markup, the pricing, the recipient bank or the financial institution is going to apply. And we call this in the industry captive transfer because it's really monopolistic. We got the money, we get to apply whatever the rates we want, and customer has no control over it. Therefore, the hidden cost could be very significant. We've seen as up to 2 to 3 percentage points.
And that comes right out of the funds that you're sending overseas, right? Imagine you're a business owner, you're paying an invoice for 10,000 euros. And you know how many dollars you've got to send to get 10,000 euros there. So you send that many dollars, only to find out that 9,500 euros got applied to your invoice because of these intermediary steps. Ultimately, that business owner is left feeling, you know, kind of left out in the cold about the transaction. I think that that's something we've got to work to address and make sure that people understand and give them an alternative that protects them from that downside.
In fact, Justin, we get a lot of requests from our clients that says, I sent the original transfer in dollars, but somehow it's a shortchanged. So they want us to send additional dollars to make up the difference, especially if contract is involved, the amount has to be exact. So it's not just one transfer, there's a backup transfer because to cover for all the hidden fees.
John, I'm curious, can an FX service convert funds into any currency? You know, does that vary by provider? And what are the limitations?
Only limitations it's not industry related, it's the regulatory. So there are certain currencies that we cannot touch, we cannot deliver. The State Department has a list of it, and we have to be conscious of it. But at Monex, we can cover up to 164 different currencies, and we can send the money in, we can receive funds for our clients. Now, some transactions is kind of in the gray area, murky. Sending money into Brazil is cumbersome. It's not just sending the funds, but recipient has to get the paperwork. There's a regulatory oversight. And of course, sending money to China is very difficult. If you send US dollars or the foreign currency, there are different regulations apply and there are fees apply. But again, it's not Monex's constraint. We're just abiding by the regulatory framework that's put in by different countries.
I think that's one of the benefits of working with a partner like Monex, is they're managing those local rules and regulations and the requirements associated with transacting in each of these countries, making sure that we're staying on the up and up relative to any transactions in that particular market. It's a really big value add of the partnership.
In fact, we make sure there's a 2 or 3 different payment rails for each country. So there's always a backup. And if you're sending funds to a certain country, we look for the payment rail that's going to be most efficient, frictionless for a client. So the money will show up faster in whole amount that we set the money at.
Justin, what are the fees for international wire transfers? Are there additional fees for converting funds to local currency?
Yeah, so the fees really do vary tremendously. Wire transfer fees, I've seen them as low as free, $0. Now, nothing's free, right? It's included in the relationship with the financial institution. I've seen them as high as $50 per wire. When we did an assessment of the market and we looked at a lot of different institutions and what they were charging, the typical fee was seen to be about $45. It's typical that the sender of these transactions pays a fee to send a wire transfer. It's also not atypical that the recipient is charged a fee by their own financial institution. When that wire comes into their account, that they're paying a fee for receipt of that wire into the account. All of these different fees that are levied, they're value add fees, right? You're getting a good service and the sender of the transaction, the receiver of the transaction is paying for that service. And that represents an income opportunity for the involved financial institutions. But the real money in foreign exchange and in these international wire transfer transactions is really related to the exchange rates of the particular currencies at play for any given payment.
I'm curious, like, what you mean by that in terms of like the real money is in the rate.
Let me address that. When you take a step back, all foreign exchange transactions, whether it's buying 100 euros, million euros, all the pricing is negotiated. It's called over the counter. There's no one fixed price rule, one fixed markup rule. So it's really up to each institution to mark up whatever they can get away with to some extent. And companies like PayPal, if you're doing FX transactions through them internationally, the market could be up to 250 to 300 basis points. At Monex, we try to be very competitive, but at the same time, it provides very lucrative revenue source for financial institutions who are going to start handling foreign exchange payments. Because wire fee is 50, but when someone is sending $500,000 worth of euro, and then there is a hidden, it's not even hidden, it's the markup on the exchange rate that could be anywhere from 70 basis point to about 100 basis point that still provides very competitive service, but at the same time, that gives a very robust income stream to the financial institution.
So if we make that real for a listener, Rima, we think about a sender of an international transaction at my FI, they're sending $10,000 overseas. If a processor is charging that 300 basis points that John just referenced, the fee that that user is paying to send that payment is $300. That is income opportunity for the FI, right? If they can gain the wallet share of that transaction coming in and being originated through the bank or through the credit union instead of with a third party, and they can do that at a reduced fee for the user of 100 basis points, it's $100 of income to the bank or to the credit union. It's a $200 savings for the sender of the payment. Everybody really wins, right? It's a great gain and a really significant value of these kinds of partnerships.
And you know, a lot of banks are looking for that fee income. And what's really nice, attractive about this is that a lot of our clients, they make these transfers regularly, monthly, bi-monthly. So it provides steady, predictable income source for the banks or the credit unions that want to get into this area.
John, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of clients are making these transfers regularly. How long does an international wire transfer take?
the standard banking practice is T+2, which means you do the transaction today and money will show up 2 days from today, sometimes 3 days. At Monex, we are more efficient in many ways because we don't have a batch processing or we don't have a cutoff. We run our operations 24/7. So if you do the transaction with us, all the major currencies, the money will show up next day or the same day. And a lot of our customers gotten used to that. And because on the domestic side, payments tends to be more instant now, same day, and they expect the same from internationally. And we try to provide that service. So about half of our transactions are the same day or the next day.
Justin, you know, when considering foreign exchange services and wire transfers, it's essential to understand the options available and make sure they are also asking relevant questions. What types of questions should a bank or credit union ask an international wire transfer provider about foreign exchange services?
Definitely a good question. There's a level of due diligence that we should always apply to any services or any partnerships that we're going to use. And I don't think that that's untrue of foreign exchange services. I think you've got to ask the right questions. What questions should we be asking? Questions like, what currencies are supported? How do those line up against the currencies and the transactions that my account holder base wants to execute? What information can I get around the exchange rates that are offered? How does that compare to the market rate or the mid-market rate for those particular currencies? What are the fees that are charged? Are there any additional fees above the markup of the transaction amount that I might have to pay? How long do my transactions take to be delivered to the beneficiary in the currencies or markets that my users are going to be looking at most often? Fiserv works with a number of partners. Monex is one because each of them has different strengths and they do different things really, really well. I would think about, as a bank or a credit union, what's my customer base look like? What are they likely to be doing? What are the currencies that they're going to be using most often? What's most important to them? And then looking at the partners and understanding, how do I line up what my customers' needs are against what this partner does really, really well?
And related to that, at Monex, our philosophy is we want to provide clients locally, not from overseas. So we have a Monex US, Monex Europe, Monex Mexico, Monex Canada, and now we have a Monex Australia. We just got the license. What that does is that it speeds up the operational process because there's no time delays. And not only that, you get more competitive pricing for your local currencies. And one other question you must ask if you're dealing with a money service business is, are you regulated? Are you properly regulated by every state you operate in and also at the federal level as well? And also you get audited and whether you have a performance bond. And the implication is there's a security that you're not taking any additional risk by using a third-party partner like Monex.
I think that's a great point, John. Every banker wants to keep their regulators and their auditors happy.
Exactly. Right?
That just makes life easier.
It's very important to us.
For those that are listening in, you know, why should they utilize fintechs like Fiserv and Monex for international transfers and foreign exchange services? Justin, I'll let you start that one off.
Yeah, good question, Rima. Thanks. Why should you use someone like Fiserv for a service like this? Well, the easiest, kind of simplest answer is it's plug and play. Right? Fiserv service here connects into your core account processing system. It's wired into your business online banking system. It fits into your existing reporting structures and data structures and uses existing connectivity. It's easy and simple. There's thousands of financial institutions that are using our payments exchange platform today to process their Fed wire payments. That's the exact same system that allows sending international wire transfers like this. And so it's very simple. There's not a big technical lift. It's pretty plug and play, easy and quick to deploy.
And when people think about Monex, they think of us as fintech, something new, we're using better technology and everything else. But reality is we've been in business for 38 years. We got 3,000 employees globally, and we only focus on one thing only. We want to provide most efficient, cost-effective FX payment delivery for our clients. But at the end of the day, it's not just the pricing and efficiency, it's the service. Just wanted to give you an example. Let's say you have a wire that went missing and your customer is concerned about it. If you call up a Monex to find out what happened to the wire, our SLA is someone will actually pick up the phone in a third ring, and by one transfer, you will be talking to the right person so you can resolve that issue immediately. Our SLA, again, any customer inquiries are resolved within 24 hours. If it takes longer, then at least you know at the end of the day that you will receive a call the next day. So it's the pricing and the service.
So what's the takeaway here? The takeaway is you've got customers out there today that need to make international transactions, and they might be using a third party. They might be using your own systems to send US dollars through an intermediary. You're leaving an opportunity on the table to give them better service and to do so while providing them cost savings and generating income for your institution. So you should really look at this and think about, are foreign wires something that you want to incorporate into your product offering you offer to your customers? It's win-win for your financial institution, for your users, for the recipients of their payments. Everybody benefits.
When you take a step back, a lot of people think we are deglobalizing, but our data says actually globalization is still continuing, and more businesses in the United States are getting involved in international commerce, business, import, export, and at the same time, they were looking for more efficient way of dealing with that. So the foreign exchange segment within the financial industry is growing and growing. And that's why it's no surprise the amount of money bought and sold overnight in the interbank market is equivalent to $8 trillion a day. And it's growing at a rate of 20% every year. So international business is here and it's going to grow. This would be a wonderful area for financial institutions to focus on if they're looking for additional revenue source.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.